from the Outlaws. It's your boy Al Capone.
What's up? And it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this your boy Al Capone.
What up, y'all? This is Eshawn.
Yo, 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 what's up? This your boy C-Mur, and I'm chilling with my boy Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. Is the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Back-to-back-to-back episodes this week. Three in a row. Last night we had Crazy D, formerly of NWA. He was there during the early stages of the forming of the group. He was on songs like Dope Man and Gangsta Gangster. Check that out. Hit allhiphop.com. Nice little article about it. But tonight, we got a hell of a guest. This man has been in the game, 30-plus years. He pioneered and paved the way for many of y'all to do what you're doing today. Along, of course, with Mr. Mix, Brother Martise, Luther Campbell, the one and only Fresh Kid Ice. What's up, Ice?
All right, what's happening? What's happening, everybody?
Man, it's good to have you back on the show again, and I'm real surprised because I didn't even know you were doing this. I don't know if you talked about it last time, but you actually got a book that you're about to drop called My Rise to Fame. Why don't you tell everybody about this?
Basically, it's my autobiography, and it states everything from where I'm from. I was born in the Caribbean. How, Two Live Crew was founded, some of the stories that happened on the road, a lot of things that people don't know about Two Live Crew, it's in the book, you know what I'm saying? How friendship was used in business, you know what I'm saying? So, it's what you want to know.
It's everything you want to know. It's and of course, we don't want to drop too many jewels on them because we want them to read the book. But at the same token, we definitely want to want them to go out and get it as soon as possible. Now, you start off. Does it start off in your childhood, growing up in the, you said Trinidad?
Yeah, I was born in Trinidad. Came to the United States in 1977, the day after the blackout.
That was the year before I was born. And you came there right in the middle of a blackout. What a way to arrive in the country. How old were you at the time, if you don't mind me asking?
I think I was about 11 or 12, something like that.
So you were just a kid. Surreal to you then. This was all like,
right?
Like, wow, what the fuck? America ain't supposed to be like this.
Yeah, and basically, when we came over, we couldn't go outside because that was the summer sand.
Man, what a fucking perfect time to arrive, man. I mean, Jesus. You got the summer, you got this crazy killer out there. You got a blackout. Welcome to America, Chris. Welcome.
Yeah, and drop straight into Brooklyn.
It's straight into Brooklyn of all places. Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's it. That's at the heart of the Mecca of just about everything. Whether it be positive things such as music and culture or negative things such as the mafia. You know what I'm saying? So you're right there in Brooklyn. At what point did you realize, obviously the influence was right there already when you arrived. At what point did you realize that, hey, man, I like rap and I think I want to do this?
When I got there, it was like the disco era. Then, coming from the underground part, when they used to have the block parties and stuff like that, the DJs would be out in the summertime, on the block parties and so forth. And then it started going from the disco into the hip hop, And then, we used to get the little, the little mixtapes and stuff like that, That, when the little battles and stuff between like a Busy Bee and so forth, that they used to do. We used to get a lot of that. And then records started coming out, you know, like the early, what would you say, the Enjoy Records, the Spoonie G's, the Jimmy Spices and stuff like that, you know?
Grandmaster Caz and all them.
Right, all that stuff in the early, you know, late 70s, early 80s and stuff like that, so.
So, I mean, you arrived at the perfect time for hip-hop, too. Were you exposed to hip-hop at all over there in Trinidad, or were they not up on it at that point?
No, it was in Trinidad, basically, it was more Calypso and the top 40 stuff, you know? That was it.
Now, did you ever, you know, we'll get into this later, but did you ever go back to Trinidad after you had already blown up? And if so, what kind of reaction did you get from the people there?
Well, the only other time I went back to Trinidad was like in the 90s when my grandmother had passed. You know, I went there to put it in the ground, you know what I'm saying? With the rest of the family. Because, you know, while my parents were over here working and stuff to bring us over, it was basically our grandmother that, you know, came in and looked after us, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to show her that respect.
Of course, of course. You know, no doubt. Well, okay, you're growing up, you know, you're in Brooklyn, you know, we know you ended up going into the Air Force, I believe. Is that when that's when you met Mix? When did you and Mix exactly form the Two Live Crew? Was it 84? Was it 83? Or
84? Because I was in, before that, I was in Illinois, in Scott Air Force Base in Illinois, and I got transferred from one base. Exactly.
Oh.
And right there in what it is, the Belleville area, the what they call it, okay, some Heights, or some Fairview Heights.
Fairview Heights, yeah, Belleville.
Yeah, all that area. Because I used to go there and buy equipment at the stereo shops and stuff down that way and so forth. So.
Yeah, but eventually later on you came back. I know you came back that way and toured that area several times. You probably still do now. You know, what's it like going back to some of the old places that you were at when you were in the Air Force?
It's a good thing, you know, because you get to see, you know, it bringing back memories and stuff like that. And then sometimes you have friends in the area and so forth, you know. Like I have friends in like Alton and Edwardsville and so forth, you know, that we met back then. And, you know, today we're still friends, you know?
Yeah. And see, that's dope right there, that you're able to still have these relationships after all these years. Okay, so Luke brings you guys that he hears your music, he likes it, he brings you guys down to Miami, and you guys start to explode locally and then eventually regionally, and then you know, we know the rest of the story. But when he first brought you guys down there, did you have any idea that the connection that you guys were going to make was going to form something that was going to blow up as big as it did?
Not really, because, you know, when we first went to Miami, we just went down there to do some shows, you know, and so on. And because we had our own label, Fresh Beat Records, which was distributed through Mercola Records. And at that time, Mercola Records distributed everything on the West Coast, like, you know, the Ice-T's label or Egyptian Lovers label. Rodney O at that time was on Egypt's label.
He was on Egypt's label. Okay.
Yeah, Egyptian Empire. And they had, what's that group name? From Police Academy.
I know you're talking about. I can't think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
Rudy Party and them, yeah.
McCullough, but McCullough was huge, you know what I'm saying? Eventually NWA came
right,
out.
And they
that.
Had NWA and all that stuff. They had the early NWA stuff. And, yeah, and Don McMillan used to send everybody over to Jerry Heller. And, you know, we went over there because the Dream Team was signed with Jerry Heller. And, you know, we went to talk to him, and he wasn't a fit for us, you know. So we were still looking for management.
What was your thoughts on Jerry Heller? You said he wasn't a fit for you guys. Did he come off a certain way that you guys didn't really like? Or?
Well, you know, he was like, you know, too industry for us, and we were being more, you know, from the street and stuff like that. We weren't the Hollywood type, you know what I'm saying? We weren't the L.A. type.
Yeah, I noticed that. You guys didn't, I mean, everybody else, the way they were dressed at that time, motherfuckers had spikes or Dre's case, sequins and shit like that. You guys just had jeans and regular clothes, it seemed. Why didn't you guys go, you guys didn't want to be followers, or what was the deal?
Nah, because basically we were considered ourselves more like the working man group, you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
We were in the military and all that type of stuff, so, you know, we just wanted to do music.
And you never lost that love of music after all these years. I mean, you're still doing shows like crazy and making music, you know, your kids making music. Which we'll talk about too. If there's anything you can go back to and do over, what would it be?
I would say listen to my parents and included an attorney into my business earlier, because they always told me, you know, let your attorney handle it instead of trusting a friend. I would always say, nah, we could trust him, you know, because, you know, we all have one focus and one idea, you know what I'm saying? Well, we thought we did, but, you know, it didn't work out that way.
Well, someone, it kind of, you guys all, I mean, we've all been in situations like that in life. I've been in situations where there's a group of guys, you come together and you kind of feel like, okay, we're all going to do this together. We should all have equal shares in the stock, so to speak. At what point did Luke take the reins and say, I'm going to handle all the business, you guys just do the entertaining?
No, well, that's what we agreed on.
Oh, you guys agreed?
We'll
okay.
handle the music, you know, and we'll take groups, we'll mentor them. We'll help them write. We'll do this. We'll do that so we can keep the product coming through the company. You understand?
Yeah.
And so forth. And by having more acts and more this, that we can develop this company into its own, like an independent major. You know what I'm saying?
And that's exactly what you guys became, because didn't the first full-length record that you guys put out, didn't go gold independently?
Exactly. Everything before Nasty As They Want to Be was gold. You know what I'm saying? So, and when
that's
you look
back
then,
at the time.
Exactly. And that was just us doing our work. You know?
Wow.
And basically, we never took royalties. We used to live off our show money.
And ironically, that's how a lot of rappers do it today, you know,
because
a lot of the deals that they're getting are fucked, you know.
Because we took our money and kept investing it into the company, which we thought the company was going to take care of us later on, you know, and do the right thing by divvying it up the four ways, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so you would actually almost like out of a paycheck, you know, the 401k, you would actually put money back into the label, to try to you know, get things going, and ultimately that that would be what would help make anything successful is if everybody's chipping in. But you're saying you didn't on the back end of that, the flip side of that coin, you didn't see what you thought you should have saw.
Exactly, because you know when you make a gold record, you know, you should have at least a dollar per record, you know, back then, you know, because you sold the record for like around $6, you know?
Yeah. And you sell all of the units.
Hold on 1 second. My daughter's coming through the front gate.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you sell all these records, and, you know, ultimately, you know, all you want is what, you know, your share, what you put in. You want to move forward. You want to see the company continue to grow and succeed. And unfortunately, we see this with all the major labels of the 90s and the 80s. Like you said, the same thing happened, you know, with Mercola. And eventually, all of them came tumbling down, every single one of them, from Mercola to No Limit. You know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
It all has to stem from greed, you know? And what I see from talking to guys like yourself, I see a bunch of good guys that are trying to do a good thing, but then a few greedy people in the mix, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, kind of make things go bad. For a perfect example would be Suge Knight, you know. But we ain't even going to go there. That's a Hollywood movie in the making, you know. But speaking of Hollywood.
But that's one thing with the industry. It's been like this forever.
Yeah.
You understand? It's been like this forever. So, you know. The story goes on. It's like the Frankie Lyman story or this story.
Elvis,
Sun
Records, and, you know, Ray Charles, and you know, departing from his record label. And it's always been like the record industry has always been tainted in that aspect. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
You know, and that's a damn shame. But through it all, you have been fortunate enough to be able to influence a lot of people globally, you know what I'm saying, and you guys were trendsetters to the point to where, you know what I'm saying, you just lit the rap world on fire. Is that a good thing for Fresh Kid Ice now? You know, like, oh man, I helped do this, or does it make you angry knowing that, man, where's my share? Or is it mixed feelings?
Basically, I'm in a good place. You know what I'm saying? I had a stroke back in 2009, you know, a couple strokes. I went through a lot of accidents in my life. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, from a lot of the accidents that have been around me, you know, look at the people who used to be with me. Like, Flo Rida was my hype man, you know? We went through it with him, you know, by him being on the road and stuff like that. And he was rapping a certain way and so forth. And, you know, and by teaching him certain things, and he learned certain things by being out there. And I told him, you know, one day you're going to make it, you know, because you have all the tools. All you got to do is get your mind right.
Yeah.
And be happy. Yeah, and when you get your 15 minutes, be happy. You know what I'm saying? And show as much love as possible.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing I tell any young artist. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get your success. It might not be as great as the next man, but you're going to have your success and your time to shine. You know, and that's what I try to instill in a lot of the artists.
Yeah. I mean, you could literally, kind of like what KRS-One did, you know, with School Hip Hop, you could literally do seminars, you know what I'm saying, because you have so much experience in so many different aspects of the game, whether being not just an artist, but also a CEO yourself. You've had your own label for many years, Chinaman Records.
Right.
You actually got an artist you're working on right now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about him?
Fame. Fame for Hilliard. You know, he's a good kid. He's very talented. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there's a few things that he's learning and so forth. His music, he has good music and so forth. And I see, you know, as he grow, he'll become, you know, a total entertainer. So, you know, so that's what one of the things that, you know, we have to instill into him, you know. And he has this new single. It's called Put a Cup on It. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice club record. It kind of caught my eye and everything. So it's a good vibe.
Now, Put a Cup on It. Is it self-explanatory? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't heard the song yet. A lot of this new age stuff, I don't understand. I don't know what the fuck they're doing nowadays. What does Put a Cup on It mean, if you don't mind?
You know, it's like with the twerking movement and all the different things, you know, how the girls like to shake their butt. You can put your cup on it. You know, you can put your cup on their butt, you know. So.
Okay, I got you. Now, speaking, we're going to play this song real quick. But speaking of the whole twerking and all that, you guys were the originators to have bitches bounce that ass. I mean, you guys were the, you know, the ones that started it all. You know what I'm saying? And it's good to see that, you know, your Project X and certain films, they still pay homage and show respect to you guys. What about, you know, has anybody approached you guys about a deal or something? Are we going to see a Two Life Crew record in the future?
Well, right now, you know, we have an album that's done. We're just waiting, you know. We negotiated some stuff with Lil Joe Records, you know, for our own label, which is called New Focus, you know. And also, you know, we're waiting on the company to put it out because, you know, we have features on it, like from Trick Daddy to Trina to E-40, you know, Manny Fresh, that type of stuff, you know. So it's up to the label now to put it out and do what they're supposed to do. If not, that's why I concentrate on young artists, you know, because I know the plight of the artist, and I want to see them make it. And I want to see them get their fair share, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, anybody would be a fool not to listen to what you have to offer, not only as far as, you know what I'm saying, your wisdom and your experience, but also just your overall knowledge in life. Like you said, you've been through a couple strokes, car accidents. You've been through a lot yourself and endured. So, yeah, anybody would be a fool not to want to... You know what I'm saying? Be down with Chinaman Records. We're going to play the track, Put a Cup on It, by your artist. What's your artist's name again, Chris?
Fame Failure.
Okay, we're going to be right back right here. We're going to talk more about the book. And don't go nowhere. Hit them lines at 714-409-0548, ugsforlife.com.
Get up on me. Throw some blocks on it. Ass so fat, she a her sign. Put a cup on it. Put a cup on it. Put a cup on it. That ass so fat. Put a cup on it. Put a cup on it. Put a cup on it. That ass so fat. Put a cup on it. She got an ass so fat to put a cup on it. No big show. Met her at the club, told her back it up on it. Just bring it straight back, girl. Come on and bring it on. Tricks with it, move swift. She move them hips until it split. When she bend that thing over like the moody clip, told her hold my red solo cup, then let's cruise the dip. So she flipped it, I could call the booty a gymnast. Told her I was addicted and that I had to spend it. Gotta get it, see her doing tricks for the vine. Every time that she with it, she know we bound to slide. So shorty, bring it back like my snapback.
bag, then clap, 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 baby, clap, clap, clap. That fat ass got me just going mad, mad. Hit a lick on the pussy with no black mask.
Back, 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 back it up for me. Throw some blocks on it. Ass so fat, she a hurt sign.
Put a cup on it, put a cup on it, put a cup on it. That ass so fat, put a cup on it. Put a cup on it, put a cup on it. That ass so fat, put a cup on it.
She use the ass test, throwing ass out. Come on, baby, drop that ass to the ass out. She'll throw that thing out like an asteroid. Two of my chicks in the club got me paranoid. Ass on steroids, hit her with an asterisk. Baby, no magic, she gon' do asterisk. She gon' slow it down and go faster. Got me gasping, breaths like I got asthma. Damn right, that shorty a dime. Stay an ass a nine, it's ass a nine. Baby got back, she get it from her mama. Face like an actress, the ass be the drama. She a dud, fell in love with how she twerk it, how she move it, presidential shit. I had to throw a dub on it. That ass so fat that I had to put a cup on it. Back it up on me. Throw some blocks on it. Ass so fat, she a hurt sign.
Put a cup on it, put a cup on it, put a cup on it. That ass so fat, put a cup on it, put a cup on it, put a cup on it. That ass so fat, put a cup on it.
Are you jiggling, baby? Go ahead, baby. The way she drop it down make me go crazy, yeah. Yeah, this girl is too legit to quit. She dropping to a spit, I mean, she too on point to miss. She doing tricks, yeah, I'm going after that. She got my mind doing flips like an acrobat. I get up on it just to show her I can handle that. And then she dropped it lower than the old school Cadillac. But the way she flipped that cup, though, she putting on the show, and you can find me in the front row. The way she drop it down and bring it up slow. She killing competition, she cutthroat. No doubt this girl the best I ever seen. She in here doing things that I swear I never seen. The way she move that thing is hard to believe. This girl making it hard for me to breathe.
Back, 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 back it up on me. Throw some blocks on it. Ass so fat, she a hurt sign.
Put a cup on it, put a cup on it, put a cup on it. That ass so fat, put a cup on it, put a cup on it, put a cup on it. That ass so fat, put a cup on it.
Cup on it.
There goes that bass right there.
It's
something that's definitely something for the shorties. You know, I'm an older head, but I see where you're going. I see where you're going, Chris. You definitely, you know what I'm saying, you got those CEO and visionary skills, man, because you've been doing this for a long time as a CEO yourself. I want to welcome my co-host to the show, Mac J. He's on the line.
What's up, Will? What's going on? Yep.
We got Fresh Cut Ice on the line. Now, in addition to, of course, Chinaman Records, you got a book that you're getting ready to drop called My Rise to Fame. When is this book coming out?
Well, right now you can order it. We have a phone number that you can just order the book from. You'll get the paperback copy. And on Amazon and so forth, it drops August 4th. So you can get it now and be ahead of the game, you know?
Yeah, you can do it the old school way and read the motherfucker page by page before these new tech nerds get it on their goddamn iPads. But either way, read the fucking book. You know what I mean? This is amazing.
Yeah,
though,
it's a good read. And it's a lot of things you want to know about Two Live Crew and so forth. It tells you, you know, how Two Live Crew came to be and so forth. Like, if you want to write, do a movie about Two Live Crew, this is the book to put it to, because it takes you from the beginning to the end,
yeah,
to all the original members and so forth, and what happened.
Right,
I
definitely want to read it.
Yeah, yeah. And
I'm gonna say the link right now.
My thing is, you know, you got so many years. I mean, you rapped in the 80s, the 90s, you know what I'm saying, the 2000s, 2010s, you know what I'm saying, now you're going into 2010, I mean, all these decades, man, and you're still fucking doing it, you know what I'm saying? But this book, it's got to be filled with some of the most craziest. This is the Two Live Crew. It's got to be some of the most craziest perverted sexual stories. Does it have a lot of nasty shit?
It has stuff about groupies and stuff. It gives you the layout of Miami back in the 80s and so forth. You know,
it has the top 10
strip clubs and all that type of stuff, you know.
Different things, as nasty as they want to be.
Yeah, you know, so it's real graphic.
It's crazy. You know, I've been waiting for a book like this for years because, you know what I'm saying, like I said, the history. Are there going to be a lot of people mad about this? Or are people going to be happy? Like, are you still going to be cool with the other members of the group, or...
Well, you know, I'm not sure because right now, you know, all of us are not too cool with each other. You know, we do it for more on the business end and so forth, you know, than how we were in the beginning. And I'm sure, you know, it's going to hurt a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
You know, but the truth is the truth, you know, and I had a lot of different people interviewed for the book, and I offered to have everybody interviewed for the book, you know, like I offered, had somebody go out there to ask Luke if he wanted to be interviewed for the book. He declined. The same thing with Mix. Marquis got interviewed for the book. Flo Rida is in there.
Hey, Mark don't give a fuck, does he? He'll jump in the mix and just say whatever.
You know, but, you know, I've been writing this book for a few JT. Years, you know. So a lot of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I had to hold off on it for a little bit and come back and give it a new perspective because a lot of people wanted it more graphic. So I had to give them what they want.
And Luke declined to be interviewed for the book. That's shocking because you would think that he would want to at least, you know what I'm saying, give his perspective.
Yeah, because I wanted everybody to give their perspective because I wanted, you know, the writing to be true for everybody, you know what I'm saying, and how they felt and so forth, and I kept it the way how they interviewed. I kept it that way, so... It didn't say that I tried to throw shade on anybody. So
yeah.
Anything that I said because I meant it and so forth, you know?
So I've talked to you for years. Every time I talk to you, you've always been a real humble dude. But, you know, if I were to write a book, I'm actually in the process of it. I've been in the process of it. I'm going to throw a lot of dirt on my own name and mess up to a lot of shit I've done. Is there a lot of instances of that too, where you talk about mistakes you made or whatnot?
Yeah, I fessed up to my mistakes and the different things that I did and so forth. And that's why I had other people interviewed. You know what I'm saying? To tell them what they think about me. You know, and I say keep it that way. You understand? So if you felt I took 5 cents from you, you could say, well, that motherfucker took 5 cents from me, and so forth, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If you think it's the truth, then you put it out there as the truth, you know, so, and let me have my say-so later on, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy because, there's obviously going to be, I think when the book comes out, do you expect anybody to you know, nah, man, you know, come back at you with some backlash, or do you think, like you said, sometimes the truth, you know, the truth is the truth. Do you think people just leave it at that?
Yeah, the truth is what will set you free. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I told the truth, and it's up to them and their karma to say what they want to say. You know what I'm saying? So if you didn't do it, well, you show me the paperwork that say you did different.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
What about...
At least you said you paid me everything you owe me, you show me that the checks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. If there is a paper trail, show it, provide it. You know, last night we had a Crazy D. He was with NWA and the Posse. Obviously, we were talking about McCola. You remember that record.
Right.
And he wrote, you know, various parts of various songs, you know, early on in the early beginning stages at NWA. And he's one of the guys that never really got his credit. You know, when I look at Mix, I see a guy who created a sound and created a style that was emulated by so many people. You know what I'm saying? And you know, in retrospect, DJ Ready Red did the same thing in Houston with the Scarface. You know, a little bit after you guys, right around the same time. But nonetheless, those two guys created two different sounds that pretty much shaped the South. Do you feel that Mix never got his just due? And do you speak about that in your book at all?
Well, I always said that he was very talented and he never got his just due. I always said that due to the fact that our company was set up in a way, and we had one person who was the media hound. So any time it was some time for the stuff to be spoken of and so forth, we were taken out of the equation, and they were put to the forefront instead of the whole group being there taking the group. You know, saying, well, the group did this, the group did this, you know, because in the beginning, when the censorship started, if you go back on a lot of stuff, it was we, then it's, I didn't do this in my music, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the difference in the change in everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
it went from
our label to my label, and this and this and that, you know, and then we noticed that, and the big thing that went down, what really broke Tula Crew up, was when the deal came to Atlantic, because basically we did three albums, right, two gold and one double platinum without a contract.
So
and
really, you guys did all that independently. You didn't need Atlantic.
Exactly. And then when the money was coming from Atlantic, we had to sign contracts, backdating our contracts, you understand?
Yeah.
Stating that we was with this label this time to sort of, so the money that was supposed to have been for the group went to the company, you understand? So which we felt later on we were bamboozled.
You, Mix, and Brother Marquise.
Right. And that's what really broke Tula Crew up. Tula Crew could have had a longer run.
It should have.
Yeah.
It should have.
Yeah, I think they y'all could have.
Nancy's Didn't Want to Be Part 2 was a phenomenal record.
Right, and we only did one single off of it, which was the Pop the Coochie.
Yeah.
After that, everybody was gone.
That's when the breakup occurred during that album? Or
that was the last album we recorded.
But I mean, when did things really heat up to where you guys said, you know what, we're all going our separate ways? At what point was the record already out, or was
around that time? Because at that time the group broke up, and we came back to do one show in Houston because of a lawsuit, and the way that went down, even everything was different, you know. Dressing rooms became separate and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this ain't cool. That was the last time we performed together till we performed at Live 20-some years later.
Now this is crazy, because I always wondered why at the peak of your success, you know, why is this group breaking up? You know, kind of like why did the Bears split up after they won the Super Bowl? Okay, so obviously it was financial.
What it was when the deal was going down, they say, okay, we need this and this signed so we can get this amount of money from Atlantic, right?
Uh-huh.
And when the deal was signed, everybody got money. The attorneys got like $500,000. This one got this. This one got that. And then he came back and told us, well, we didn't get what we were supposed to get, and it's nothing, you know.
Right. So pretty much everybody got paid except for y'all.
You guys didn't get all the money that you're supposed to get.
Sure.
We didn't get damn it until for us to record. Nat says they want to be part two. We had to renegotiate a new contract, and we only took $60,000 apiece to record that.
For Sports Weekend?
Yeah.
$60,000 apiece. Now, this is a record. It went gold, if I'm not mistaken.
The thing was,
could have been better, too.
That was after Band in the USA also, because Band in the USA was the first one that came out on Atlantic.
Yeah,
and
that was Luke LP.
And then
really it was
and that was another
thrill.
Thing. That the reason why we made it Luke featuring Two Live Crew, because Nasty As They Wanna Be was still selling strong on the charts. So we said, okay, instead of having two Live Crew records battle each other, let's have it Luke featuring the Two Live Crew. It's the same money anyhow. And when it was time for royalty time, right, around Christmas time, we received less than $10,000 for a royalty check.
Damn.
For that record.
On a gold record. The record shipped more than gold.
It's shipped more than gold. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the album and the single win gold.
See.
So pretty much everybody was getting their money and they was juking
right.
all around.
And we had a gold video out. Remember the Man in the USA video?
Yeah. The video where it had the riots and people tearing
exactly.
the club up and shit.
That was a gold video. And we received nothing for that.
Nothing. Wow. The video, the album, the single. You know, you guys were the original Tear the Club Up Thugs. You really did.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, if you watch that video, folks, get on YouTube. It's on there. Just type in Band in the USA documentary. And look at the riot. When they said that you guys weren't coming on stage, that place went fucking nuts.
Folks spent their money to come see that shit.
Man, yeah. And that the next morning I woke up, that shit was on CNN.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm glad you mentioned that, CNN, because a lot of these young guys don't know how big the Two Live Crew was. You guys took a lot of shit. You guys, you stood up for the First Amendment. Now, how does it make you feel, Fresh Kid Ice, in 2015, that everybody's offended by everything? You can't say shit anymore, hardly. And you guys fought for us to be able to do that. It's almost as if your fight was for nothing.
Right. And that's one of the things that, you know, A lot of times people say a lot of things and so forth, you know. But you know, Two Live Crew, we did our part for hip hop and for the music industry. You know what I'm saying? So if we didn't do it, then somebody else would have done it. Or if no one else have done it, the music would have been totally different today.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So. We played our part. You know what I'm saying? We
right,
had
I was
our
about
part to
say,
play.
If,
so we,
If y'all hadn't did what y'all did, we would have been swagged out a long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They would have been hijacked the game. So it was great to have guys like y'all. Plus, y'all had the most classic album covers too. Especially for me as a young shorty.
Because, you know, if you remember before, back in the 70s and stuff like that, groups like Ohio Players and stuff had tight ass album covers with butts and stuff on it, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just
took like it the Ohio further. Players was to y'all was like that to us, though, on the real.
Right. So, you know, the thing you is, we just had to take it a little further.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys, now before the Atlantic deal, you guys are shipping, you guys are selling gold independently. Was the money better then?
The group would have stayed together if we didn't go to major, if he didn't get greedy.
Oh.
And that's what it was. It was greed.
Yeah.
Because basically, we were handling everything ourselves. You know, we were paying for a lot of things, which later on he said, you know, in different articles that Luke said that, I spent $1 million of my own. But when you looked at our royalty sheets, okay, I had to pay the lawyer for this, and it came out of our royalties. So who really paid for it?
That's almost like the song, Who's Fucking Who?
Exactly.
I didn't know. You guys might have wrote that for a different reason. You know, but that's horrible, though. I just heard that you, Luke, and Mark, y'all did a show, a few months back. How was that experience, man? What was it like doing a show with the... And why wasn't Mix involved?
It's all for business, and Mix have different things with different people within the companies and all this type of stuff like that. All kind, you know, because I wanted to bring the whole group back to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't my call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So because I'm one vote against the rest, you know?
Well, what about this, Fresh Kid Ice? Let me ask you this. You know, you see 3-6 Mafia doing albums, right? Sony has the deal where Jay and Paul, they got to do those albums together. So Paul went on the side and said, you know what, okay, instead of 3-6 Mafia, we're going to be called the Mafia 6. Can't you guys be called something similar and come back together?
It's a bunch of shit that's in that trademark shit.
You guys are probably just intertwined.
Because it's in the
legalities.
Book, yeah. Because I already faced the... a federal judge on that stuff by myself.
I'm about to say, like, y'all can come back out, like, as the crew that was too live or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but everybody knows it's y'all.
You can't even put the words together or the crew or the this or the that.
Damn.
Yeah. it's so, you know what I'm saying?
Bamboozled, like you said.
Yeah,
like,
you know. And basically, you know, there is different things in between different members in the group that has to be hashed out because, you know, we do shows together with Luke, but it's not like how it used to be. You know what I'm saying? It's more of a business thing than so forth. You know, like if we invite him to do certain things or some press or something like that, he'll decline.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? I commend you for trying to get the group back together because you know that's what we want. You know that's what the fans want. And, you know, we thought we had it in 95. you know. And it was cool, even though you guys didn't have Luke, it was cool to see you guys in 96 with Shake a Little Something. I thought that was a solid record, you know.
Right.
You know, then you and Mark did your thing in 98. We haven't heard nothing since, a few songs here and there. And it's almost sad to a point to where it's like, man, you guys are getting up in age. Hell, we're getting up in age. Your fans are getting up in age. Don't mean to make you feel old ice, but my point is, you know what I'm saying, there's got to be something where there's got to be some common ground. To me, it sounds like somebody came in out of nowhere and just stuck a fucking wedge in to where nobody can go, you know,
exactly,
a certain direction they want to go. I mean, it's fucked.
It's like how they used to do it back in the old school, like with the Temptations and this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
we got to call
stuff. I'm, you know, so I don't know. You know, all we can do is try. But right now, my thing is, you know, I'm getting older. Every day is getting harder for me to wake up and put my clothes on and do this and do that. You know, my body is beat down. But I do for the fans. And I'd like to see if I can break a few more groups before I leave here. You know what I'm saying? And,
right,
you know, leave something for people, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I wrote the book, because I want the story to be told and told right. I tried to include everybody.
And that's history. That's history too, man. We need more people that are doing stuff like that from our era, because it's like they're trying to phase a lot of it out anyway, or they only telling one side of it. So when people take it upon themselves, because you could be doing anything else in the world besides write a book, you know what I'm saying? But you decided to write a book, so why not read it? It's out there for you, you know what I'm saying? And
right,
who better to hear from than the people that lived it?
You know, and the thing is, it's so, you know, learn from my mistakes, you know what I'm saying? And make sure you don't go down the same path, you know what I mean? You know,
right,
make sure you can be better than me, you know, and that's what I want for the young artists, you know what I'm saying? Because it's good to see that a lot of them own their stuff now and so forth, and I hope they're not selling their souls for just the 15 minutes of fame.
Many of them are, unfortunately. Hey, we got a caller for you, Ice. This is from France. Your phone, Sin, is making a lot of clicking.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell it is. But you have a question.
Oh,
you're on the line with Fresh Kid Ice and Two Live Crew.
He might
Chris,
be on
this
the
Iron Tower. Sinister from France.
Yeah. Hi, Fresh Kid Ice and Scott and Black Jay.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Tell us about the fact the mainstream hip-hop never recognized Miami bass as real hip-hop, and Magic Mike or Luke never get the respect they deserve, you know what I'm saying? We see the same thing with Memphis Get Back Sound. They never get the recognition as real hip-hop. Pioneers like DJ Spanish Fly or DJ Jimmy in New Orleans never get their props. Now, it's like in the South, they see you as you ain't real hip-hop. Now, can you talk about that?
Well, even when we first came into the rap game, you know, a lot of people didn't respect the Southern rappers. When we went on shows and we performed against the New York groups and so forth, they thought that, you know, we were just like a Johnny Come Lately type thing, that we'll never, you know, go further than the South. But now the music, if you look at the music industry, the South has a lot to say and so forth, you know. But when you listen to the music, the Miami bass is derived from like a sound out of the L.A., the electronic stuff out of L.A. back in the 80s, and a a cross between that and the Planet Rock stuff, you know, that Africa Bambaataa did, which was all hip-hop. So when you look at everything, Miami bass is a form of hip-hop. You know, so those groups and so forth, like when you talk about DJ Jimmy and stuff of that, like that, out of the New Orleans, that in a few years they will also be considered hip-hop, you know, because it influenced music, takes in everything and gives out something different. So it's for other people to embrace it, and it takes some time to embrace it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah,
we were just lucky to live through them days, man. Yeah, I'm glad I lived in the time that I lived, and y'all made it possible for that. Like when I get to reminiscing, sometimes I'll be happy to tell the youngsters that y'all missed out. You know what I'm saying? Like even though I want them to know everything about where we came from, sometimes I feel kind of good that I did not miss out on a certain era and human culture. Period. Because you guys
right.
were worldwide. You was more than just Miami. You might have started just in your neighborhood, but you guys took it like shit. Saying he from France, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all took it all across the globe, and you still here to tell your story, man, and that's why we do what we do for y'all, man, because we do this shit for the guys like us that grew up listening to the CDs, buying the tapes, buying the albums if you had them, reading the covers of them, putting the posters on the wall, hiding album covers so we wouldn't get in trouble for them, taking them to school to show people, like, we were blessed to be able to see that, you know what I'm saying? And for y'all to be able to still make music, I always feel it's important for y'all stories to be heard because it seemed like they just try to shut certain shit down, and it just so happened the shit that they trying to shut down is all real shit.
Yeah, and
people
you
was really
you've
living like what we was listening to.
You've always been a humble individual. A lot of people, you know, you've worked with a lot of people in the industry. You know, there should be no reason why these companies shouldn't utilize your experience some kind of way. You know, so I'm glad you put out this book just to show these people exactly what you contributed to the game, which was a lot. You know what I'm saying? So salute, Chris. Real talk. You know.
Thank you. And, you know, and my thing is, I hope, you know, that my book, you know, reaches a lot of fans who couldn't see Two Live Crew perform and so forth or understand the whole story and the things that we went through so that they can learn and maybe they can share it with another, you know, so maybe it'll help the culture.
Yeah, definitely. It needs to because, you know, there's not much structure in hip-hop anymore like there used to be, and there's not much distinction. If you notice with a lot of the music nowadays, you can't really tell where these guys are from. You used to be able to tell, okay, that dude's from Miami, you know, or that cat is from Compton, or that cat's from Chicago. Nowadays, man, you could come out, you don't know where the fuck they're from.
A lot of people write records and they just plug the artist into the record instead of the artist, you know, writing and learning and so forth and so on. Now all you got to do is give them the lyric sheet. They go in there, they learn it for like about an hour, and everything is punches, 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 instead of learning the whole verse to style the record, you know?
Yeah. It's a whole different era, that's for damn sure. But your book, you know, My Rise to Fame, is coming out, when you say, August 4th?
Yeah, it comes out August 4th on Amazon. And if you want, you can get the copy where you can read it yourself. You know, the paperback or whatever. You can just call the number 786-763-5337 and put your order in, and they'll get it to you.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You signing them books
yeah.
too, Chris?
Pardon me?
You're going to be signing them books too?
Yeah, we're going to try and go to a bunch of different places and do it, because basically this book is being self-published, so we're doing it ourselves. We formed our own media company called ITM Media, and we're putting it out ourselves. It's copywritten, everything, so nobody could steal my story.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. And I know, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be a success because, you know, you got a lot to tell. And from what you told us tonight, I can't wait to dig into the book myself and really soak it all in, man. And, you know, it's amazing. How far do you go? I mean, you go back from your childhood. I mean, it's not just music.
Yeah.
It's your whole life, right?
Yeah. Basically, I had different people at different parts of my life been interviewed, like my sister, my brother, you know. They'll tell you, like, what they expected of me and what they thought about me when I came into rap. You know, my sister tells it all. She say, he should have been so-and-so, but I don't like this smut, you know. So, you know, because being raised Catholic and all that stuff, you know, it's one thing. Then I have different people in different parts of my life, like my high school friends and stuff like that. Then some old girlfriends and so forth, artists and stuff like that, DJs and different things, you know.
Right.
So it gives you a whole outlook on what people think of me and how they go about things, you know. So I even have Manny Fresh in there, Flo Rida, JT Money, MC Shy D, all that type of stuff.
Shout out to JT Money. He's a frequent guest on the show.
Oh, yeah.
MC Shy D, we got him on
the
show as well. See, that's what I'm talking about. You got these people that, you know what I'm saying, who've achieved success themselves, who've been to the top themselves, be able to give their perspective too. And you said Marquise speaks in there. So I look forward to it. What about a documentary, man? You ever thought about that?
Or even a movie?
Well, basically, that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because a lot of people have been coming down on me to write the movie or set it up, you know, give them the chapters and stuff like that. I'm like, why should I give you all this stuff when I can do it myself?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You need me
right.
For it, because I've been here since day one to the end.
Yeah. You're the co-creator. You and Mix created it, right?
Exactly. You know, myself, Mix, and Amazing P created the group. And
right. Like you said, it's about not doing the same shit over and over again. Like, you don't want to get fucked over twice. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
No, yeah, yeah, first time.
So at some time, you got to break the cycle.
You've been doing it for a while yourself. You know, I remember when they had BET Uncut, I used to see your video all the time. They had that shit on religiously. Yeah, I don't know why the fuck they took that show off, you know, because that show actually gave cats, you know what I'm saying, from the underground a chance and an opportunity, and also gave legends like yourself who was doing it independently a chance to put stuff out there. But,
yeah, because basically, you know, that video, shoot, I just shot that thing and just sent it to them and they put it in. I was like, y'all put that in?
But it was
a good thing because it was funny. And, you know, it was just wild. I was like, damn.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, man. You know, everybody go out and get this book. You know what I'm saying? My Rise to Fame, Fresh Kid Ice. You know what I'm saying? Get the actual physical copy August 1st. Or no, get the digital copy August 1st. Get the physical copy now from you. What's that phone number again, Chris?
786-763- 5337.
5337. Okay, so I doubt there's going to be any chance of doing a Two Live Crew roundtable anytime soon.
yeah, for sure.
Hopefully, all bullshit aside, you know, I really hope this book blows up. You know, I hope you get to go on a book tour and really, you know, get it out there. And ultimately, I hope all four of you guys somehow come together and give us that album that we've been waiting for since 91. I keep telling JT Money, too, we've been waiting for a Poison Clan album since 95. You know, but for you guys, we've been waiting almost 25 years. So hopefully it can happen. But in the meantime, I know you're going to be putting out music. Do you have an album coming out?
Yeah, myself and Marquise under Two Live Crew, we got the album. It should be coming out soon, you know. Whenever they put it out, it's been done. So, you know, they
it's
might
just
be trying to
label,
hold it back to keep us under the contract, you know.
There's a Two Live Crew album right now ready to go.
Exactly.
And we're just waiting on the record label to drop it.
Yeah.
Record label, if you're listening, drop the fucking record. We need that shit. We definitely need that shit. But in the meantime, get that book, My Rise to Fame, Fresh Kid Ice. Hey, thanks again for coming on the show. I really appreciate you. You're welcome here anytime, man. Real talk.
Thanks a lot, man. And don't forget, you know, hit up my kids on Chinaman Records, you know what I'm saying? Fame Failure, you know, plus, you know, the new Chinaman Records, you know, I'm trying to get all young acts out there and start pumping them up, you know?
Yeah.
New era.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. And, you know, take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you real soon. I'd like to have you on again after the book comes out. I want to purchase a copy myself and read it. And ask you a whole shitload of questions. So
no
if
doubt.
You don't mind, I'd like to have you back.
No problem. I'm always here. You know I'm here.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
No
Take
doubt.
Care of yourself, man.
All right. Thank you.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Also, shout out to Lord Sinister. There was some problems with his phone, but he asked a real good question about the Miami Bass scene.
I'm proud of your English too, Sin. It sounds like you're getting
yeah,
Sin, better with that English.
Yeah, bring him
man.
On, yo. Now,
yeah.
now that Chris is off, we can hear that. See,
yeah.
the reason you're clicking, Sin, is because Dopey came over there on his spaceship and picked you up, and you guys you don't have good transmission up there in the clouds. So that's but no
they
man,
they on the Eiffel Tower.
Shout out to Dopey. Shout out to Dopey and the Terrorists. All joking aside, guys, that was a hell of a show. A lot of good information, you know. And we always heard the stories about Luke, and I got a lot of respect for Luke. Luke has been on the show ourselves, but I gotta say, from what Chris said tonight, it definitely is not. That's not right,
hell, man.
I really wish the label. He said it himself. The label should have stayed independent. Because they were doing real good, and they were. I remember those records in 86,
mm-hmm.
87, and 89. They came out independently, and they were all over the country. You know, I remember in third grade, I had a fucking, this was 86, I had a dub tape of We Want Some Pussy. I think it was the extended version or something like that, but I was just so, you said pussy, you know, you're a little kid,
right,
you're
yeah.
amazed, you know what I mean? You're like, nibble, the whole thing, everybody was like, nibble on
yeah.
like a rat does cheese. And that was Chris's part.
Prayers, you listen to the shit 20 years later, and you still feel the same way listening to that shit.
You
know what I'm saying?
Feel
like,
the same way listening to that shit.
I'll be like, especially now with the music that they playing now, it don't even match or nothing. It should have been a continuation of what was before. Instead, it went to something that they wanted it to be in the first place. And the guy that we had on tonight was one of the guys that fought for, even if we own a major, we can still say what we want.
Exactly.
But nowadays, the major won't even stand behind them, but the majors pretty much use them to get their money, man.
That's what we're seeing.
They made all of this money and all this shit that they got off of the backs of a lot of motherfuckers, modern-day slave shit, man.
When the Internet took over the majors, or when the Internet came in and fucked up the majors, they didn't lose any money. They figured out a way how to pimp the artists even more than what they were doing. You know what I'm saying?
They own these little transvestite rappers.
That's what I like to call them, because they're trannies. They're walking around with fucking women's shoes on and spandex, and you see their nasty ball sack camel toes. These motherfuckers are desecrating the building blocks that people like our guest tonight made. You know what I'm saying? But with that being said, we're going to get off into a track and we're going to get the fuck out of here, because I got some real bad weather coming my way. And so do you, Mac. I'm looking at it. We're both.
Yeah, it's already raining out here. I'm standing out here in this shit right now.
Yeah, it's coming right at me too here in a minute. So I gotta get the fuck out of here before I die and go to hell. Sin, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
If a tornado come out there, just tie the belt around your hand and to the pole like on.
You go. Just tie a pole around my hand, and, you know. But I'm a big motherfucker. I ain't going nowhere. But we're gonna play a song. We're gonna leave you guys with a song. Actually, tomorrow, I wanna plug tomorrow's show first before we get out. Tomorrow we got a return visit from Eshawn. Now, if you remember the last time Eshawn was on the show, he straight up said, "Eminem, battle me." You know, bring it, motherfucker, bring it. And shit viral all over the place for us, so it was good. We're happy to have Eshawn back. He's got his new album, Dichotomy, which, man, there's a few tracks on there I've been bumping religiously, and we're going to be playing some of them. So check him out. But tonight, we're going to play a song. It's actually by MC Chris Square from the Black Force of Germany. Gangster Nip, you know what I'm saying, obviously from Houston, Texas, and the homie Relic Killer from DFI Records out of Cincinnati, Ohio, produced by Flo Beats.
Shout out to Relic,
a song called Zombie Bar 2015. Any rapper who's going to rap explicit lyrics, you got to, and these guys, obviously, you know, you got Gangster Nip, you got Relic Killer, you got MC Chris Square. Obviously, they rap explicit lyrics. You gotta give it up to the 2 Live Crew. Those were the guys that made it possible for these guys to do what they're doing. And Relic Killer, that's, you know, spelled R-E-L-L-I-K twice. You know, Relic and Killer, K-I-L-L-E-R, obviously. You know, DFI Records, you know what I'm saying? And check him out tomorrow. He's going to have another track for us, Birthday Song for a Clown 2. Which, man, it features a whole slew of motherfuckers. I'm not going to get into it tonight. We'll save that one for tomorrow. But this is Zombie Bar by MC Chris Score, again from the Black Forest of Germany. Gangster Nip, the South Park motherfucking psycho, and Relic
SPC.
Killer out of Cincinnati. Mac, we're out of here. Sin, thank you again for calling in all the way from France. 5 years ago when we were doing this show, it wouldn't have been possible because, or 10 years ago even when we were doing this show on the podcast, because, you know, you couldn't communicate with people as easily as you can today overseas. So we're glad to have you join us each time we do the show. We'll see you guys tomorrow with Eshawn, 9 p.m. Central. This is Zombie Bar. I'm Chris Score, Gangsta Nip, and Relic Killer. We're out of this motherfucker. We'll see you guys tomorrow. UGS for life.
See you tomorrow. You motherfucking bitches.
Lonely dog. Bow your head. Kneel and
watch
at the feet of Santanico Pandemonium.
Es war ja klar, da lande in der Nachbar, weil die Nacht eh schon so abgefasst war. Steh mir nicht im Wege, will an die Theke. Brauche keine Deppen, die sich mit mir anlegen. Ich will Tequila mit Zitrone und Salz, bevor ich den ganzen Laden niederwall. Der Urlaub hier erträgt sich nur bis zum Prero. Wo bin ich gelandet? mitten in Mexiko. Der Schnaps hält, was das Etikett verspricht. Die tanzende Chica hat ein ekliges Gesicht. Kannst nicht erkennen, sie tanzt im Schatten. Ich gehe auf sie zu, um nach Feuer zu fragen. Excuse me, lady. Und sie springt mich an. Eine Zombie-Fresse schreit, fick dich, Mann. Ein Wort vom Benutzer fräst mich nicht. Sie sagt Autogramm, bitte, King of Battle Rap.
I fuck the zombie bitch. She don't mind, I let her.